The scripture reading for this morning will be taken from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Thank you for that tremendous singing and the prayer that's been offered. The passage that has been read here this morning, a moment ago, from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, is one of many texts in the scriptures that deal with the subject of growth. As most of us know, we have studied the Bible very much. We understand that the people who were the recipients, to be the recipients of the book of Hebrews, the letter of the Hebrews, were people who were Jews and had been converted to Christ, and they stood in danger of being guilty of going back into Judaism for the simple reason of all of the suffering that they were enduring at that particular time. The title of the lesson this morning is based upon that subject. The title is Growing as a Christian. Need I, beloved, emphasize the importance, the necessity of growing as a Christian? Growth is a process that's brought to our mind every year. In only relatively few more hours, we're going to slip from one year into the next. And believe it or not, young people, those years go faster. I don't care what the calendar says. Those years go faster the longer you live. And they're like a snowball rolling downhill. It just keeps moving faster and faster and faster. I think back to some of my early days in preaching, and it's so good to have the grandparents of the young man whose name was mentioned, the baby. They're here this morning. And when I first met Lisa, she must have been about 12 or 13, 14 years old. Now she's grandparents. And thanks for the prayers that you've been offering for them. Let's look for just a moment. And I was thinking as Eddie was doing his lesson this morning, and by the way, it's a very, very good series of lessons he is presenting on Sunday morning in the auditorium class. They're actually on the book of 1 Peter and the study of the book of 1 Peter, but especially as Peter would emphasize the necessity of Christians who were to be growing. In fact, Peter closed his second letter with, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." God wants us to grow. And here in this Hebrew letter, this particular passage that was read mentions that very thing. Because the writer said, as you recall, you ought to be teaching others, but you have need that someone else teach you again what needs to, or the principles, the fundamentals of life. So as a Christian, God wants us to continue to grow. Now, folks, we know and understand that there is, in some people's minds and hearts, the idea, the concept, that when they are baptized into Christ, that they are perfect. They don't have to worry about life anymore. They believe that temptations are all gone away. They don't have to worry about temptations anymore. And yet, we know for a fact that when one is baptized into Christ, if anything, temptations become stronger and worse. Because we are taught by the Scriptures that, yes, we will be tempted. It's all right to be tempted. But the important thing is we not yield to those temptations. So, we, when we become Christians, have accepted a way of life that in our culture, the secular culture of the world, is going to be even more difficult in one way of looking at it than before. Problems are not going to go away simply because you confess Christ as your Savior and we're buried with Him in baptism, as we often emphasize. Problems may even become greater. You may be confronted, as some have, and even in my own family, that at least, well, most of you know, Donna, a couple of times we've moved simply because she could not continue to work for a company like the one she was working for because of things that were required of her that she didn't feel, as a Christian, she could live with. That's what we're talking about. It's a process, folks, this idea of living as a Christian and growing as a Christian, if you will. And the passage that Eddie studied this morning with us in class, one of them, is part of my introduction. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all speaking as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby unto salvation. Now, when I first started preaching, you had a Young's Concordance or a Strong's Complete Concordance, and you would thumb through this big, thick book to find information, how many times any given word is used and where it's used in the Bible. Nowadays, you can sit on a computer keyboard and plug in a word like growth in the Bible. And within a matter of a couple of minutes, you have listed on your computer screen all of the times and places those words are used. So it's easy to do. I would challenge you, therefore, to pick the word growth or any form of the word growth and look it up and notice how many times it's mentioned. It's kind of like the expression in Christ, and in Christ, being in Christ, is a part of our process of growth, if you will. And if you look it up, it's used 94 times. You know, when a subject typified by a word such as that, growth or some form of it, then you know that it's an important subject to Almighty God and to His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. So we are going to have to ask ourselves the question today, as 2018 slowly passes and we are introduced to 2019, as we reflect back for a few moments on what it's been like for us in our life as a Christian during 2018. Am I growing in Christ? Where have I grown in Christ during the year 2018? Am I more determined in my life as a Christian? Am I more faith? My faith stronger? My determination greater? My spirit of kindness? Is it better? You know, the writer, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the Roman church in chapter 12, in the beginning verses of that chapter, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, meaning a continual sacrifice to Almighty God. Have we been increasing our living for Christ, as it were? For we know, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. That means that our minds, our hearts, our soul, our spirit is involved as well. The childhood of Christ, or of the church rather, is brought to us as a beginning in the First Corinthian letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. Remember, chapters 12, 13, and 14 are a composite of what Paul was trying to get across to the church at Corinth in the use of the spiritual gifts. And we also know that the 13th chapter dealt exclusively almost with love for one reason, and that was to make sure those people understood how the spiritual gifts that had been given to them were to be used. Near the end of that passage, there is a couple of three verses where the apostle talks about that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. That which is in part that was to be done away was the spiritual gifts which had been used. They were part of that which made the coming of the New Testament possible. And that which is perfect, of course, is the completion of the New Testament itself, of which the Apostle Paul played such a great part. Just think for a moment, beloved. The Apostle Paul, the former Saul of Tarsus, was trying to destroy the church of the living God. He was trying to destroy Christianity until he met Christ on the road to Damascus and was converted by our Savior himself. And that man, who had been determined to destroy Christianity, ended up writing almost half of all of the scriptures of the New Testament. This was the beginning. When Christ came into the world, he lived here for 33 years approximately. He preached for 3 years, and he taught his apostles and those to whom the apostles had given the gift themselves, and Christ had given the gift as he had given them to the apostles. Then the church began to grow, and it suffered from the very beginning. The book of Acts primarily includes not only the preaching of that first gospel sermon on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ, but it also included the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul and those with him. This was the beginning of the infancy of the church. And we have given to us in the book of Acts the record of how those congregations grew or did not grow. The seven letters that was written to the seven churches of Asia by John at the instruction of Christ, chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. The context of those letters also demonstrate how the church was growing or not growing, to whom those letters were written. Are we beginning to get the idea, beloved, that as a Christian, we have to grow? I used to work with a fellow. One of his favorite expressions was, you're either ripe and rotten or green and growing. Let us be green and growing, as it were. Two or three points we want to make here. First of all, growth as a Christian requires study. One of the first verses I memorized after I became a child of God was 2 Timothy 2:15, where the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "Study, give diligence, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That verse tells us that if the Bible being true, there is such thing as truth. And secondly, there is a possibility that we can know what that truth is. And that word, that truth that Christ and his apostles and disciples delivered to us, that's where we ought to live our lives as far as instructions in our culture in our day and time is concerned. You ought to be teaching others, the Hebrew writer said, that comes from the passage that we took as our main passage for this study this morning. And then, of course, there's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, where the apostle urged those to whom he was writing, Christians, be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear. Now, that's a simple admonition. Be ready. Be ready to do what? Tell people why I'm a Christian. If somebody asks you why you're a Christian, what would you tell them? Would we be able to tell them? And I'm not suggesting that you know that entire Bible word for word and would be able to repeat it. I am suggesting, however, that we would know if we could not call the exact scripture, that we would go to the scriptures and help guide people. They would ask us a reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and with fear. Be ready to give that answer. Things that are crucial to New Testament Christianity. What must I do to be saved? How should I live the Christian life? How should I deal with my enemies? All of those things which the Bible itself, the New Testament especially, is teaching us. And the Apostle Peter also in chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, if these things are yours and abound in you, the process of growth borne out by the apostle preacher, the apostle Peter. Yes, he was a preacher too. So growth is required if we're going to be faithful to our Lord and Jesus Christ. I recall vividly one night in the classes at School of Preaching in Nashville where I attended, Brother Charles Brewer, who was at that time at least 80, I recall so vividly what he said. Now, this was a man who was brilliant, intellectually, IQ-wise, of the highest order. His comment that night that I remember so well and is so vivid to me, when he said, I have known for 60 years what the Bible says. I am just lately beginning to fully comprehend what it means in so many ways. Brother Brewer was simply saying in his own inimitable way, as he was prone to do in that class, he was setting forth a lesson that is so important to any and every individual who would not only become a child of God, but remain a child of God in order that we might live in glory with Him. We have to grow, beloved, as Christians. We as parents talk to our children. And I know all of us that are parents have experienced the joy, the glory, the hurt, the pain at times from watching our children grow. I recall when my daughter was 3 years old, she would come running to meet me when I came in from work, hair curled down around her head. She'd be sweating and playing. And she'd come and jump up in my arms. And I thought on many occasions, I wish she would stay this age my whole life. But it doesn't happen that way, does it? No, they grow up. And even when they're growing, there are times when we suffer and we hurt with them. It's no different than we are as Christians, beloved. Christianity is not any different than that. We are truly and faithfully following the teaching of Jesus Christ. We know that as a Christian, There's going to be times when we're happy. There's going to be times when we are thrilled to be Christians. There's going to be times when life is really great. And there's other times in our lives as Christian and in our process of growth that we're going to hurt. We're going to suffer. We're going to endure the pain of the rejection for being a Christian. No other reason. And yet we have the guidance of the apostles of the New Testament. And so often my thoughts turn to the apostle Paul and Silas, and those with them that found themselves in the inner prison one night for no other reason than they had preached Jesus Christ, which is a way of life that he taught men and humanity to have, that we the best form of life that mankind has ever known and ever would know and still is. And the only reason that he was in jail was for preaching that. As we've studied so many times, why on earth would not any city, any country, any community want their citizens to be Christians? Because Christians pay their taxes, they take care of the poor, and they don't lie, they don't cheat, they don't steal, they don't wreck places, they don't shoot people. Why on earth wouldn't communities want people like that for their citizens? It's painful to grow sometimes as Christians. Another thing I would emphasize is that growth requires perseverance. Galatians 6, actually all of the sixth chapter, but especially the beginning verses fit here. I call your attention to the sixth chapter of Galatians. In the beginning, verse 1, he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But in every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." There's the teaching and the growing. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if he soweth to the flesh, then of the flesh shall he reap corruption. If he soweth to the Spirit, then he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let us not be weary in growing as a Christian, in training ourselves, in guiding ourselves to be kinder, more generous, more understanding, to determine as a wife or a husband that our spouse is the most important thing in our lives beyond Jesus Christ himself. It takes persistence. There's a couple of parables. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Parable of the persistent widow who was needing help, and she continually went to the judge and continually went to the judge, and he would not help her because he was a judge of the world, the secular world. And finally, he decided, she kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, and he decided that she needed to be helped in order that he could have some peace. So he said, "I'm not going to get rid of her to himself." I'm paraphrasing the lesson here. "To himself, because of himself and the fact that she kept aggravating him and coming and coming and coming, he gave her what she needed and she was gone." Persistence is one of the greatest things that we can have. I know there's times when we get disappointed. I've said before, when we talk about this kind of thing. Don't become discouraged, folks. Don't ever become discouraged as a Christian. Become disappointed at times when things happen. But don't be discouraged. That's just a simple distinction that I have made down through the years that's helped me. If it helps you, use it. You know, disappointment to me means a thing that is fleeting. It comes and it goes. Discouragement means that you may have become, you have come to the point where you may totally give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up your courage. Be disappointed for a day and then renew again. There is a friend at midnight that came. A person had a friend and he needed something desperately, and it was midnight. And he hated to go because it was in midnight. He knew they would be asleep. The friend would be asleep and so on. And yet the friend kept knocking. Kept knocking. And finally, he opened the door and let him in and helped him. Both of these are in regard to perseverance. One last thing that I'll bring. We will be talking about some this evening. That is that growth requires prayer. The Bible tells us that we are to pray and not faint. And the writer, the Apostle Paul, to the church at Thessalonica said, pray without ceasing. That means to become a prayerful person. A person who is characterized by praying. It doesn't mean that we're literally, figuratively only, that we're literally praying all of the time. Pray without ceasing, when Paul wrote it to the Thessalonians, simply meant to be the kind of person that prays. Prays when Christ taught us that we would need to pray. Pray because we need the help of Almighty God. And it's talking to God. That's what we'll be talking about this evening. You know, the title of the lesson is, talking to God. Let us talk to God. Let us talk to Christ. Let us talk to the Father. There have been occasions in my life as a gospel preacher trying to help people in regard to the difficult situations that I would end up talking, just telling them, you have to talk to God. I had a friend of mine that endured a great tragedy in his life, and he mentioned it to me. He talked to me about it one time, and he made the statement. He said, I've reached a point where I can't even pray. I don't know how to pray. And I emphasized to him, talk to God. Talk to God. It doesn't make any difference if you know what to say or not. Talk to Him. The Holy Spirit will help him to understand it. He tells us that in the book of Romans as well. Growth requires prayer. We need God to help us and direct us in our personal work, in the people we meet and end up marrying, their families, our neighborhood, everywhere we go. We need to pray. Pray for all men everywhere, the apostle wrote. We're to pray for rulers. And when we pray for rulers, folks, we pray for them to turn to God is what we pray for. And we pray for them beyond that to pass laws that will be the kind of laws God would want passed as well. We pray for boldness. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. The writer of the Hebrew letter there told them to pray with boldness. We recall the account in the book of Acts when the Apostle Peter and those with him who had been arrested came back, got out of prison, and they got together. The church came together, the assembly, and they prayed with all boldness, and the room was shaken. God told us, come boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, don't be sheepish about going to God and talking to Him about the problems you have in your life. And I always think of Christ in Gethsemane, folks. If you want an example of a prayer, of course, Christ is our example in all things. 2 Peter 2:2. If you want that perfect example, then go to Christ. And when I go to Christ and Him talking about prayer, I see Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. I see Him entering the Garden of Gethsemane with the apostles, three of them at least. I see Him going further on in, and I see Him fall prone on the ground, is what the passage said. And I see as the sweat and the blood begins to flow from His pores. That's because of the tremendous stress He was under. And He was praying to the Father in heaven. He was praying for something that He no doubt knew could not be. And yet He prayed anyway, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Please." He prayed three times. That's persistence. Growth requires prayer. Growth requires regular prayer. Growth requires prayer for all people, all men everywhere. Let Christ be our example. Now, folks, we have not exhausted the subject that we have under discussion here, but we do hope that we have helped with a few thoughts in regard to how we can grow as Christians. So this morning, as the Scriptures teach us, if you are here and you have never been baptized into Christ, never repented of your sins, never completed that process by being baptized after confessing your Savior, Christ as your Savior, why not this morning? And if you are a child of God, have been buried with Him, you've been a member of the church maybe for many years, maybe you need the prayers of the church. Maybe you need to be restored. Whatever your needs are, why not come as together we stand and sing.